So today we're kind of talking about unity and talking about how the church can work together. In part, it's because this afternoon churches from all around the valley are meeting together for this All Valley Worship Service to celebrate the 10th anniversary of serving Natchee Valley. But I was remembering this week how one of my first ministry assignments was when the senior pastor of the church at the time, I was 18 years old at the Covenant Church in Nelson, B.C., and Pastor Steve asked me if I'd serve on a committee that was trying to get together something called a March for Jesus. Anybody remember this? This is like in the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, the Canadians in the crowd. Yeah, they remember this. Anyways, there was a movement that happened in England at kind of the end of 1980s and 90s and stuff, back when they thought graphics like that were cool. Where people said, there's people do parties and marches and demonstrations for all sorts of different things. Why don't we just throw a great big rolling block party for Jesus? Sounds like a good idea, right? And so in England, there was, some fairly large groups that gathered, and you just kind of throw a big party, just walk, down the street, and there's dancing and banners and color, and and it's great. Anyway, so they're thinking, let's do this together. And now, Nelson is a funny little town. This is about a town in the interior of British Columbia, about 10,000 people. You've got maybe 7 or 8 churches that are really active or of any size. And the thought was, let's get them together, and we'll do a march for Jesus down the main street of town. And this was, they'd never done anything like this before. Churches, sometimes they have a hard time working together, and this was one of those things. And so this was one of my first experiences in life working with what's called a committee. Have you ever heard about these? Remember back in high school or in college when you had to do group work? Remember that? Who remembers that? You did group assignments? I don't like group assignments. I really, really don't like them. Anybody here with me on that? Just you hear that, you just go, this is going to be a petri dish of human dysfunction. That's what this is going to be. Because you get a whole bunch of people together with all these different backgrounds and opinions and stuff, and you've always got one negative Nelly, the guy, the girl that's always like, everything is bad. Everything is awful. No matter what idea it is, it's terrible. Then you already got some, always have some guy that's like Mr. Blustery Bobby or whatever you want, a guy, girl. And they come in and they got all these great ideas, big vision, we're going to do it, and they have zero follow through. Nothing at all. Just a big, big gust of wind in the committee and then nothing happens. It can be so frustrating. People, there seems to be always more editors than writers. Do you know what I mean? More editors than writers for every single stinking idea. And so this committee was working together and I realized right then, 18 years old, so this is why churches have a hard time working together, right? Very, very difficult. We finally got the permits from the city you want to hold a what for a who and a, it's all this stuff. And admittedly, you think about it now, it might be a little bit of a hokey idea. But it was an idea, and it's something that brought churches together. So after months and months of work and headaches and committee time, we finally gathered. And so, a few hundred people from these different churches, and they had pickup trucks with a sound system in front and a pickup truck with a sound system in the back that was somehow linked together with wireless stuff. And anyway, so music is playing, and there's banners and dancing, and we're coming down the main street of the town, and people are looking at us like, what are you? And what a weird thing to do for Jesus. And while we were doing all this, and this great big celebration, we heard sirens. And a few minutes later, saw fire trucks going by. And we found out later what was going on is we saw actually smoke rising from another part of the city. It turns out, Nelson is a town that, it's very eclectic. And it actually has an actively and openly meeting Church of Satan in it. And so the Church of Satan had actually gathered that day to hold sacrifices in opposition to the march. And somehow, accidentally, in the process of burning the sacrifices, their house burned. And so literally, quite literally, as the churches of this little town united around this hokey little idea for the very first time in a very long time, the Church of Satan literally burned. That's an interesting coincidence, isn't it? Now, I don't know exactly how all this stuff works, but I do know this, is that unity is really hard work, but it's God's work. God cares about it. There is a spiritual power that gets unleashed as Christians work together. And it can be so difficult. But it's something that's really clearly on God's heart. Actually, today I want us to look at a passage in Scripture, and if you have your Bibles, to turn to John chapter 17. And this is in a section of Scripture where this is kind of Jesus' last words to his disciples. They've had the Last Supper, and he's kind of giving his final teaching. He's washed their feet. And this is just, you know, hours, if not minutes, before his arrest. And that night, after his trial, he's going to be crucified. So this is, Jesus is aware of this. And he's kind of sharing the you know, if you remember one thing, remember this kind of statements. And just think about it. It's kind of a morose thought, but if you only had a few hours to live, you would gather the people you love around you, and you would tell them some of the things you really care about, things you really hope that they would remember. This is one of those things. So Jesus taught, and then he prayed. And so we're picking it up in chapter 20. We're just going to read four verses, but there's some principles in there that are so powerful that I hope we could just latch on to today. So Jesus is praying, and he's praying for his disciples, and he says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." So who's Jesus talking about? Who? Us. Those who would believe in Jesus because of the disciples' message. That's us. Jesus prayed for you. Jesus prayed for us. Here's what he prayed. That all of them may be, and what's the word? One. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may know what? That you have sent me. So something about the unity between believers is connected to the unity between believers and God, is connected to the world knowing that Jesus is for real. So it's a big, big idea. May they also be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. Now, in this, Jesus is hinting at this doctrine that, you know, a few years later, the theologians kind of went, this is what we need to call it, what's called the doctrine of the Trinity. The idea that God is Father, God is Son, and God is Holy Spirit. Three persons together in one unity. Like, here would be an example. It's a little bit like three strands in one rope. You've got, you know, three strands, and they're all individual strands, but when you weave them together, you have a rope. And the rope is stronger than any of the strands. Or here's another analogy. This is actually one I enjoy more. But I had to throw up that one for all you construction workers. Anyways, it's a little bit like... Where is it? Let's find it. It's a little bit like three notes in a chord. A major chord, for example, has three notes. The root, the third, and the fifth. Right? Three individual notes, and you need all three to make a major chord. If you only have one, it's just a note. If you only have two, it's an interval. But all three make a chord. All three. Every note is distinct. Everyone's got its own part. I mean, sometimes in a chord, you'll hear one more note more than the other. Like right now, because of the voicing, you hear the root more than the other notes. Or right now, you hear the third more than the others, but all three are needed for that chord. Or right now, the fifth. You hear the fifth more than the others, but all three are needed for the chord. And if you put all those three notes together, you can write symphonies, you can compose music, this is what songs come from. All notes matter, even though they are different. When they work together in harmony, in a sense of unity, it creates something bigger than what you could have just by itself. And Jesus says, we're like that. Everyone's got their own note to play. Everyone's got their own distinct gifts and talents and abilities. But when we work together, it forms like a symphony. It forms something bigger than any one of us could do alone. But that's not all. I want to go back to that passage and read a little bit more. There's something I don't want us to miss. This is great. Okay. So in the passage, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for you all, people who believe in them through the message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, like a symphony. They are in harmony. And then get this, verse 22. I have given them the, what's the word? The glory. I have given them the glory that what? I have given them the glory that you, God the Father, gave me, God the Son. I realize this is not theologically correct, okay? All the God juice that Jesus has, all the good godness, you know, the power, the glory, the beauty, the majesty of God that existed in Jesus, the human being, Jesus said he gave it to who? Us. All the glory, I have given them all the glory that you have given me. Look at me. God does not call you to something that he doesn't simultaneously also equip you for. Now, unity is really hard work. I mean, if you're talking about unity, you're talking about maybe I need to go to somebody and ask their forgiveness because I need to rebuild this relationship. Unity might mean I feel like my marriage is on the rocks and I'm tempted to give up hope. But if God calls you to it, he will also equip you for it. I have given them the glory that you gave me so that they may be one as what? We are one. I in them and you in me so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me. So that's how people know that Jesus is for real. It's how well Christians work together and have loved them even as you have loved me. When Christians work together, it's incredible testimony to the power of God, to the love and the goodness and the grace of God. And when we don't, I mean, for many of us, I mean, we are a church of, and I love this about our church, by the way, but we have a church of kind of a lot of recovering people that have been, feel like they've been burned by church at some point in their life. And for many of us, when you think of some of your most painful church experiences, it's around a situation of disunity. When suddenly church members, you know, both of them are Sunday school teachers and they're yelling at each other. And this thing that's supposed, like a family, I mean, church is like a family. It can be amazing when it's amazing. And yet, then when it gets fractured, it hurts so stinking bad. We know on a gut level it's not supposed to be like this. And so when we see it, it hurts so much. And anytime there's a church split, anytime a church is engaged in all this infighting, all the energy goes into the infighting and almost no ministry happens. And in almost every case, somebody walks away from that going, you know, I really wanted to believe that this thing was for real, but I don't know if I can trust in this God thing if that's how Christians act. You ever seen that? Or you think about unity. I mean, even those of you that have maybe gone through hurtful marriages, you've been through divorce, and you just think, is this love thing even worth it? There's a level for all of us where we just sort of long, even if we have a hard time believing it's true, we want it to be true. This idea that maybe two people actually could live in that kind of harmony together. Maybe people could actually have that depth of sharing and trust and relationship. Even if you've never seen it, you still want it. God implanted that in the human spirit, I believe. That longing for oneness, that longing for unity. When it's fractured, it hurts so bad. But when it happens, then people see that Jesus is for real. The excuse for, you know, this message, and actually pastors all around the valley are preaching on unity today. Servant Etchee Valley has been working for the last 10 years with a couple of dozen churches, all of us pitching in a little bit, and all of us trying to work together. It's not easy. I've served on many of those committees. I've lost a lot of fur in the process. It's not easy at all. But when we work together, there are things that we can do together that there's just no way we could do individually. through our partnership with Serve Wenatchee Valley, when you give to things like our benevolence fund, it has so much impact because you know for sure, I mean, because there's a screening process. We know that the people that we're giving resources to, we know that it's a legitimate need. We know they're also tapping into some of the other resources of the valley and the social services and networks. We know that there's going to be some follow-up. We know they're not just hopping from church to church kind of looking for a handout, but rather it's churches working together to give a hand up. It's an entirely different thing, and there's no way we could do it on our own. I mean, even the administrative infrastructure for Serve Wenatchee Valley, just the very basic bare bones is more than $150,000 a year. We can't do that on our own. But we can do it together. And thousands and thousands and thousands of people have been fed, or through things like, you know, we got all excited about the shoes. That's one, our tiny little part in some of that. I mean, thousands and thousands of kids that have shoes on their feet now because Christians work together. People have got housing, they've got new hope, they've got job training, they've got legal advice. You know, they've been got out of the whole payday loan captivity. We bought their freedom sometimes by Christians working together. And I've just got to believe that honors God, don't you? So I want to ask us a question today. You know, we'll just poke a little bit. And it's this: where are you calling on God's power for unity in your life? The promise of Christ is that he has given us the glory that God gave Jesus, that at least a portion of the power that was available to Christ is available to us when we pursue unity. How are you calling on that unity in your life? Is there somebody that you need to reconcile with? It takes a lot of courage to say, I'm sorry. It takes even more courage to say, I forgive you. Now, some of us come from other churches before we made the journey here. Maybe we need to have some honest conversation with some folks that we left. Are you calling on unity in a marriage that feels like it's strained? God, I need your power for this relationship to work. Please help. A business relationship, a friendship. Where are you calling on God's power for unity in your life? I'd like to kind of close this with a little, as we pray together, and I'll leave some time of silence, you know, maybe just to do some, for you to just do some business with God. You know, where are you asking for God's help for greater unity in your life? For better relationships with the people around you? You know, or is the Holy Spirit maybe convicting you to take a very particular step of reconciliation with somebody or some organization, some group of people? And I also hope that as we pray too, and I'll kind of make some time for this, if there's, you know, I'd like us to pray for other churches in this valley. You know, there's a lot of different flavors of ice cream. We're all on the same Jesus team, you know. We've got our way of doing stuff. Other people have their way of doing stuff. But we are all on the same Jesus team. And our goal is just to be, you know, one little flower in God's great big garden. We want to be our flower well, but we want to pray for the other flowers too. You know, and pray that ministry in this valley would thrive. That churches would be filled. That lost people would be found and hurting people would be helped. And there is no way that we can do that alone. No way. Oh, God, save us from moments if we think that we've got it so figured out and everybody else doesn't. No, we're just trying to be faithful to the way that God's called us to do our thing. And we pray that other people would be faithful to the way God's called them to do their thing. And they would do their note, and we would do our note, and then somebody else would do their note, and a symphony would form as we work together. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your promise that the glory that has been given to you by God the Father, that power is available to us. Lord, we pray for greater degrees of unity in our life. Lord, right now, in a moment of silence before you, we ask you to show us places in our life where we need to call on your power for a greater unity and for restored relationships, for acts of reconciliation and forgiveness. Oh, Lord, speak to your children today. And Lord, right now we want to pray for other ministries in this valley. Wide variety of styles and doctrinal distinctives, but all of who... For everyone that calls on the name of Jesus as their Savior and Lord and God. Lord, we pray that you would bless those ministries, those churches, those organizations. And Lord, we lift some of them, just a portion of them, up to you by name right now. Oh, Lord, hear the prayers of your children. So let's lift up some names and some ministries. Come on. And so, Lord, may each of those ministries thrive. Lord, we pray for your blessing on their leaders, for wise decision-making. And God, we pray that you would give us the grace, even though it is often very difficult, we pray give us the grace to work together well. We pray, God, that people would see that you are for real as a result. May lost people be found and hurting people be helped. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.